Father, we come into your presence with praise and with adoration and with anticipation. We've come to worship you in spirit and in truth. We consecrate, set aside this time for your honor and for your glory. And this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Congregation, please stand. John chapter 7, verses 1 through 24.
John 7 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him.
Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand.
His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest.
For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things,
for neither did his brethren believe in him.
Then said Jesus unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is already here.
The world cannot hate you, but it hateth. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil.
Go ye into this feast. I go not up yet to the feast, for my time is not yet come.
When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee.
But when his disciples were gone up, then went he also up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret.
Then the Jews sought him at the feast, and said, Where is he?
And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people.
Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews.
Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught.
And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?
Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me.
If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself.
He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him.
Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me?
The people answered and said, Thou hast the devil, who goest about to kill thee.
Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel.
Moses, therefore, gave unto you circumcision, not because of them of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man.
If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, and ye are ye angry at me, because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day?
Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
Well, take your Bibles this evening to the book of James. James chapter 3. We are going to be in the book of Proverbs for a couple more topics. But anyway, I'm going to read a passage in James chapter 3 because we're going to talk about the tongue. Now, and we'll end up here in Proverbs in just a moment after I read this particular text. We talked about the talebearer, but when we deal with the tongue can be used for bad or good. And our goal should be one of our goals anyway, to make our tongue for good. Notice what James said. Let me read the text. It's many of you probably pretty familiar with it. Verse 1, My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Now that's not perfect as in he's sinlessly perfect, but he's mature enough to where he doesn't offend people with his words. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. The mouth ought to be used for blessing. It can be used for blessing, but it can also be used for cursing. Turn back to the book of Proverbs. Now, I'm not going to read all the references I have in front of me from the book of Proverbs tonight, but I will tell you that there are a lot of them. We'll go to Proverbs chapter 18 to begin with here in just a few moments. And we'll cover over the next few weeks some of the bad things about the tongue and some of the good things about the tongue. It says, out of the same mouth proceeds cursing and blessing. And this isn't the way that it ought to be. The power of speech is one of the ways that God's image is impressed upon man. The animals have various means of communication, and they are very limited, but they do make noises. But they do not have the power of words. They don't have the power of speech. They don't have the power of writing. Man's tongue was given to us by God, and it's regulated by God's laws, and ultimately our tongue is accountable to God. We're going to give an account of the words that we speak. Now, in this particular Bible study, we will examine some warnings about the tongue that's used wrongly, and then we may look at a few of that more the following week, but praise the Lord, we can use our tongue for blessing, and we'll look at that in a couple of weeks, Lord willing. First thing I want you to notice about the tongue is this. Proverbs warns that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Look at chapter 18 and verse 21. Death and life, and I almost quoted that, are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Nothing probably can effectively describe the power of the tongue. If you've ever been on a boat or a ship, and a lot of times some of these boats are great big boats, but you know, they steer it with just a little propeller in the back. Some of them nowadays, they actually have a twin screw, or they have two propellers in the back. But it doesn't take a whole lot to turn that great big ship. A horse, 1,500-pound horse, you put a bit in its mouth, it's a piece of steel about that long, and a rein on either side of it, and you can steer that horse, that great big 1,500-pound horse, with just a little piece of metal. Now, our tongue, and I've said this, has the power of evil and good. It has the power of life and death. The old saying, remember the old saying when you were a kid, you used to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. You know, that's about as untrue can be. Words do hurt. The Bible says that there is that speaking like the piercing of a sword, Proverbs 12:18. Words hurt. Now, they can destroy reputations. So I sometimes, when people ask me questions about other people, I just don't tell them what they don't need to know. Because you try to protect other people's reputation. And I have always tried to, I've mentioned this several times, I had this philosophy. If you're not part of the solution, you don't need to be part of the problem. So some of those things you really don't need to know. And so because you really try to protect people's reputation. But words can destroy reputations. Words can ruin marriages. Words can corrupt livelihoods. Words can drive friends away. Words can overthrow governments. They can ruin marriages. They can start fightings and wars and stir up jealousy and anger and hatred. And they can kill churches. And you name it, words have the power of death and life. They can do it all. How necessary then it is for us to guard our tongue and put it under the control of the Holy Spirit rather than under the control of the flesh. We need to guard our tongue. Secondly, Proverbs warns that the tongue shows the condition of the heart. Now look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Now, the Bible says that the heart of the wise is known by the choice words that it speaks and by the knowledge that it disperses or dispenses out. Look in chapter 15 and verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doth not so. But the lips of the wise disperse or spread knowledge. The heart of the fool is known by the foolishness and evil things that come out of his lips. And again, Proverbs 14, 15, 2, 7, 28, Proverbs 18, 6, and 7. The fool can't hide who he is because it shows in his words and in his actions and his attitudes. Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so what comes out of our mouth ultimately comes from our heart. So and Proverbs also warns that the tongue shows the condition of the heart. Thirdly, Proverbs warns that the tongue must be controlled not only, and listen to this, about what it says, but how it says it. Some people say, well, it doesn't matter how you say it. It does matter how you say it. The Bible says, even says this. Many of you know this verse, a soft answer turneth away wrath. But a loud answer is not going to turn us away, or a harsh answer is not going to turn away wrath. Grievous words, it says, stir up strife. So a soft answer, it's how you said it. The Bible warns that in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. There won't be a want for sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Now some of you, I'm sure, well, I'm pretty sure of this. How many of you have read through the book of Proverbs at least once? Okay, that's almost everybody. Have you noticed all of the verses in there that mention keeping your mouth shut, not talking? First time I read through there, that was one of the things that stuck out at me. Like, wow, maybe I talk way too much, and maybe I don't listen anywhere near enough. But that's one of the messages that comes across from the book of Proverbs quite predominantly. Now, it talks about not speaking a lot. In a lot of our speaking, there is a lot of sinning. In the multitude of words, there is sin because in so much talking, there are bound to be wrong words, words that are not accurate, not correct, they are not true, and they are not proper, and they are not godly, and they are not edifying. Those are the kinds of words that come out of our mouths. The Bible warns us, look what it says, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, because there are several references over there that deal with the mouth. It says in verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is, oh, let me back up on that. Verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying. So one of the things that we're not supposed to do with our mouth is we're supposed to put away lying. In verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So we're not to have any corrupt communication come out of our mouths. In chapter 5 and verse 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So all the foolish talking and all kinds of false doctrine, 1 Timothy 1, 3, all slander, Proverbs 10, 18, and all backbiting, Proverbs 25, 23, and all these different things we're supposed to put off. All the busybodies, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15, we're not supposed to. Have you ever seen that verse? Look over there. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. You know what a busybody is? A busybody is like a meddler. You're meddling in everybody else's business when you really don't need to be meddling in everybody else's business. And to speak only that which edifies, Ephesians 4:29, if you go back there, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So we're to edify and not tear down. Now, God puts a very high standard for these commandments and what comes out of our mouths, and we are to guard our mouths. Commentator Clark said, it is impossible to speak much and yet speak nothing but truth. It would be difficult to do that. And injure no man's character in the meanwhile. We need to be very careful with our tongue that we don't hurt other people's reputations and damage them some way. And sometimes we get talking too much. We become meddlers, busybodies, and we say things that we shouldn't say. To refrain our lips, therefore, and you will read this over and over in the book of Proverbs, to refrain your lips is wise. Now, that does not mean that the wise person never speaks. It simply means that he is careful about speaking, that he thinks before he speaks. In Proverbs 12, go back to Proverbs. Verse 23, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. In contrast to the fool, who simply opens his mouth and blabs out foolishness, the wise person conceals his knowledge and speaks only at the right time and in the right manner. You know, it's way too easy to say something that is wrong, and once something has been said, it's always very difficult, sometimes even impossible, to take it back. That's why James said in James chapter 1, we need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Most people will come to a place in their life where they'll say at least once or twice, I wish I would have never said that. But it's been said. Now I'm going to, let me go a little bit further. The Bible warns that it is a fool that utters everything on his mind, whereas the wise man spareth his words. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. Now, I've got to learn to control my tongue. It's part of maturity. It's part of growth, learning how to control it. The foolish person is eager to let other people know what he's thinking, eager to let everybody know what he thinks he knows, when sometimes he doesn't know as much as he thinks he knows. That's the foolish person. He talks like that. He doesn't stop to think about whether his thoughts are right or true or fitting, or what his words will accomplish, or whether they must cause somebody to be hurt. And so they just start talking and talking and talking. The foolish person can't keep a secret. Can't keep his own secret. Can't keep the secret of somebody else. He cannot control his emotions. If he feels anger, he's going to speak in anger. That's just what he's going to do, because that's the way he is. The wise person, on the other hand, keeps control over his tongue. He thinks before he speaks. He measures his words, because his first measures his thoughts by the Bible to bring them into subjection to God. He wants the Spirit of God to control even his tongue. He keeps guard against speaking wrong and hurtful things. He doesn't talk as much as the foolish person, who has no such qualms. The foolish person just talks and talks and talks. Have you ever had somebody tell you, I'd rather take a beating than have some of the things said to me that somebody has said to me? Our words can hurt somebody. You know, if you punch me, you hurt me physically, and I can get up, and after the pain goes away, that pain's gone away. Now, I may think about that later on and decide what can I do to get back with you. But if you say something that is hurtful, that hurt may not go away. Sometimes the cruelest things we say are to the people that we love the most. And the people that we love the most, ultimately they will be hurt the most. So Solomon, to begin with, is warning us about guarding our tongues and the hurt and the damage that it can do. Well, I guess I'll stop there. Father, I would pray that you would help us to guard our tongues, control our tongues, think before we speak. Be careful that we don't say things that would hurt somebody else's reputation. Be careful that we don't say things that are hurtful. Help us to guard against being a busybody, a meddler. And sometimes we have a desire to know everything that's going on with everybody. And we become, what Peter said, a busybody. We stick our nose in where it really doesn't need to be. So, Lord, I pray that you would teach us and grow us and mature us in this area of our tongue, of what we say, and also how we say it. Help us to grow in wisdom in this area. In Jesus' name.